Hi, this is Brad Easterling, IPM agent down here in Glasscock, Reagan, and Upton counties. Fortunately for us right now, we don't have a whole lot of activity going on. We do have a little bit of disease pressure going on out in our wheat fields at the moment. We're seeing a little bit of what we generally call leaf blotch out here. It's a little bit of septoria blotch. And there's a couple of other diseases that are kind of thrown in there, but basically we've got a little bit of spotting on a lot of these leaves. Generally not a tremendous issue for a lot of us. They can be controlled with our general fungicides, especially now that we've got a lot of generics out there on the market of our Quilts, Tilt, Headline, things like that. So they can be controlled fairly easily, generally the same fungicides that we'll use on most of our rust issues. We also have some rust out in the field. We've had stripe rust for probably a month now. I'm also starting to see a little bit showing up in some areas. Fortunately, most of our rust is a little bit lower down in the canopy, so it's not a tremendous issue. We've had a couple of wet mornings here the last couple of days, so that may help to exacerbate the issue just a little bit more. But if we turn off a little bit warmer like we're forecast to, winds pick back up, then we shouldn't see the rust increase just tremendously. Seeing a few more aphids out in the field right now. Quite a few, or probably the majority of them that we're seeing right now, is the bird cherry oat aphid, a handful of Russian weed aphids, and then a few green bugs out there. Probably the one thing that we need to kind of be cognizant of, although I haven't seen any symptoms out in the field yet, is that our bird cherry oat aphids and green bugs can transmit what we call barley yellow dwarf virus. Like I said, I haven't seen any symptoms of it out there yet, but just something to kind of be aware of. The good thing is that all of the aphids I've seen in the field right now have been in pretty well low numbers out there, which for us at this time of the year is a good thing, because they're basically just going to be a food source for our beneficials. In quite a few of the fields that I've looked at, we've actually seen a pretty good number of beneficials out there. So it's helping to kind of get those numbers up. I've seen a few fields where we basically have no beneficials, but we have very low numbers of aphids. So hopefully that's just going to help to increase those numbers. Other than that, we're really not seeing much of anything. I would kind of caution some growers out there. We've got a few fields that are fairly weedy, but they do have some weeds out there. And we get some guys that at this time of the year like to come through and make a shot of, say, 2,4-D, dicamba, something like that. And it's been a recommendation for the last couple of years, especially from Calvin Trossel, to really kind of refrain from putting any kind of a auxin herbicide out, especially once we get past that joining stage, as those auxins can be translocated down to the growing point. A lot of the labels will say you can put it on up until boot stage, but more of the research we've seen says that you can really take a chance. It's not guaranteed. Yes, you will, but there is a high probability that that chemical may be translocated down to the growing point. You may ding your yield pretty good, so we might refrain from using any of our 2,4-D dicamba type products at this point in time. There are some other options out there. There's a lot of our sulfonylurea products we can put out there at this time of the year, but that's about all we've got going on in the St. Lawrence area at this point.
Brad, can people get a hold of you? You're not in the office, right?
With this virus? No, sir. We're not in the office at this point in time. Probably the easiest way to get a hold of me is on my cell phone. That's 940-256-1524. I'm also checking my email pretty much throughout the day. And my email is Br Easterling. That's EASTERLING at ag.tamu.edu. We're trying to get a lot of our information out right now on our Facebook page, which is St. Lawrence IPM, St. Lawrence IPM. So we try to get regular updates put out on there as far as things we're seeing out in the wheat field and various production practices, programs that we've got going on, things of that nature. So we're trying to get a lot of stuff out on our IPM page, also on our Glasscock extension website as well, which is glasscock.agrilife.org.
Thank you. Haley, what's going on with you?
All right, well, I'm Haley Kennedy. I am the IPM agent for Tom Green and Reynolds County. So my situation is similar to Brad, but I am going to elaborate on a few things that differ between the two. With the recent conditions in the past few days, it has been a favorable environment for the development of diseases, in particular tan spot as well as stripe rust. Even though we've had some warmer days and we've had, you know, that the canopy was staying cool and wet, and we had prolonged exposure to that wetness, making it perfect for these to emerge. Flagleaf is out for most of our fields, and so keeping that flagleaf protected is one of our biggest, you know, high points right now. Stripe rust has been popping up throughout Reynolds County, with fields receiving a fungicide application in order to protect that flagleaf. And that's happened, you know, in the Rowena Miles area, even up to the Winters Wingate area. And then, but our biggest culprit as of right now seems to be tan spot, actually. And it's not just in fields that were wheat behind wheat or reduced tillage. I'm seeing them cotton behind cotton. And so that's kind of been our big point to go to. Numerous fields have received fungicide applications for tan spot, and more applications are coming this week with that. It's seen throughout Reynolds County as well, but it's also in Tom Green County near the San Angelo area. I do not know if it's been seen in other parts of San Angelo or in the Tom Green area, but I do know for a fact that it has been spotted in San Angelo, actually yesterday. And even though, you know, our temperatures are kind of warming up in the next couple of days, you know, we are going to drop back into those cooler, wetter environments, and so making it more favorable for the continual development of diseases. Regarding aphids, I've seen a few bird cherry oat aphids. Like I said, it's been about five, and there were ladybirds right next to them ready to eat them. And so we're kind of at a standstill for that. And then other than that, that's pretty much all the activity we have. Like Brad mentioned, you know, we do have some people cleaning up some weedy fields, and, you know, with 240E dicamba, so on and so forth. But I mean, it's pretty quiet. Just, you know, these intermittent rains have brought wheat diseases forward. And so that's pretty much the biggest issue that I'm doing. And that's what I've been looking at the most, is watching these fungal diseases, you know, start and then kind of seeing where they go out. And so, you know, our tan spot's not just in the lower canopy anymore. It has moved up into the flagleaf. And so that is what has warranted fungicide applications for that. But we're pretty quiet other than that.
Are you still at the office? Or?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am still in the office, but contact me via cell phone. That's area code 832-331-9877. You can also email me at Haley, H-A-L-E-Y, Kennedy, at ag.tamu.edu. And also, you know, going to the Ag or our Reynolds County website, reynolds.agrilife.org/IPM, and that is where you can get my newsletters and any other information that I think is important.
This has been a production of the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service Entomology Department here on the High Plains of Texas.